Just to follow up on our red-green Christmas, it is on the 17th. We are selling tickets. Tickets are $5 per person. They're $20 per family. And just as I'd given an update last week, give the same update, is that we've changed where the funding is going, that we want to support our brother Michael as he brings over his attempts to bring over his family. He's been trying to do that for the last 8-9 years. So we want to support him in that, and so we're working behind the scenes with him in order to do that and work with his people he's got to work with in order to get them over. But this would be a great boost, and I talked with Michael, and he said that would be a great blessing for him financially for sure. So that is just with our Christmas fundraiser where that's heading to. And then with our brother Daryl, I was up at 5:30, and I got a text from Karen, and Karen just said, "Hey, can you pray for Daryl? I had to take him into the hospital last night, and so we don't know. I haven't got any update as to what the issue is, that kind of thing." So, we pulled our brother Daryl in prayer this morning. So that's why the music team is a little bit like here, there. Just Daryl's the leader, so. I contemplated whether I contact Doug at 5:30 this morning. I knew he was up. Or don't say anything and just tell him when I get here. Which way did you... But I texted Doug 5:30 this morning, but he didn't see the text until they were here anyways. So then the worry, got on top of that. But it's all good. So the Lord matters. What matters to the Lord is your heart. What matters to the Lord is your heart. Is when you're worshiping Him, it's not your mere words, but it's your heart. That's what matters to the Lord this morning. This morning we're looking at Jesus, the unexpected King. This Advent is about faith. About faith. So, Jesus, the unexpected King. Matthew 2:1-2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The thing I want you to think about is this. Are you living in expectation of Jesus, our coming King? Are you living in expectation of Jesus, our coming King? I began to skip school and cut class in the first grade. Believe it or not. Mom would drop me off at school, and I would wait until she was out of sight. And then I would walk back home across town in High Level, back to the trailer park. And I would get in there and I would, turn on the TV. I would have my toys. I would make myself some chocolate milk. And I would spend the whole day there. It wasn't until the next week when I was doing the exact same thing. My mom never comes home for lunch. She decided to show up for lunch one day. I saw the vehicle pull in, and I got rid of my chocolate milk glass, I turned off the TV, I ran to my room and hid behind a chair. What does your mom and dad always tell you not to leave in front of the door? Your shoes. She would not have caught me if I had not forgotten to remove my shoes from the front of the door. Something unexpected. Has anything happened to you that you did not expect? Do you and I live in expecting the unexpected? That's what I was talking about today. And I get a text at 5:30 in the morning Daryl's in the hospital. He won't be there to lead worship. I'm going, oh, this is going to be fun. It's a living illustration. Expect the unexpected. Do you live like that? Do you approach life that way? Expect the unexpected. I don't know if that's being optimistic or if that's being pessimistic. But expect the unexpected. Many of us live without expecting the unexpected. Like myself in grade one, I didn't expect my mom to come home, and for lunch one day, I'm busted. We expect Daryl to show up and lead music, worship, every week. The worship team's totally expecting him. They're waiting. It's 9:15, and they're looking, where's Daryl? And Doug tells me, he looks at his phone at that point and says, oh, he's not going to be here today. Expect the unexpected. Do you and I live this way? As a disciple of Christ, I say to you that you should live your life expecting the unexpected. As a disciple of Christ, you should live your life expecting the unexpected. Jesus tells us so in the parable of the 10 virgins, and he shares that with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 25, he says what? Verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour. Expect the unexpected. The Jewish wedding custom and tradition of the covenant and the bride price. When a young man desired to marry a young woman in ancient Israel, he would prepare a contract or a covenant to present to the young woman and her father. The covenant showed his willingness to provide for the young woman and described the terms under which he proposed marriage. Most important part of the covenant was the bride price, the price that the young man was willing to pay to marry the young woman. The price would be negotiated between the man and the bride's father and was usually quite high. Price paid showed how valuable the woman was to the man. Jesus came to earth to present his marriage contract to man. The contract Jesus presented is the new covenant, providing for the forgiveness of sins for people. The bride price that Jesus paid was what? His life. His blood. That's how valuable we were and are to him. Hebrews 9:22, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. How costly was the shed blood of Jesus? That without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sins. There's no remission. There is no standing as heirs and children of God at the judgment time. Hebrews 9, 27, 28, and just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear for a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. When Jesus broke bread with the disciples, he said what? This is my body given for you. Therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. What does the cup represent? If the bride and her father agreed to the price and covenant the young man proposed, the young man would pour a glass of wine for the young woman. If she drank it, it would indicate her acceptance of the proposal. The man and woman were now considered betrothed, legally binding, just like marriage today. Only difference, the marriage was not yet consummated. How long was a typical betrothal period? 1 to 2 years. During this time, it was expected that both the man and the woman would prepare themselves for marriage and would not typically see each other until then. Jesus poured the wine and offered it to his disciples at the Passover as a drink to seal the marriage covenant with them, with us. Matthew 26, 28, 29. For this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, from this moment, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in a new way in my Father's kingdom with you. The disciples drank the cup and accepted Jesus' contract, as we do each time that we take communion. We renew our commitment to his covenant. Here's the best part. Gifts. Don't you like gifts? Christmas, we tend to give gifts. It's a show of our love towards one another. Some do, some don't. But in the whole process of the betrothal process of getting married, gifts were given to the bride. Gifts were given to show the bridegroom's appreciation of his bride. Jesus gave us a gift, the Holy Spirit, to remind us of him, his truth, and to live in us and through us. A mikvah was also incorporated when a cleansing bath was a cleansing bath. A mikvah was a cleansing bath that the bride would take. It's the same word used for what? Baptism. Jesus' mikvah for his bride is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 4 to 5. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The mikvah. And the process wasn't complete until the groom had finished preparing the place for his bride. And the groom was not done until his father told him that he was done. It was built to the specifications of the groom's father. The couple would spend 7 days in that wedding chamber, and the young man would only get his bride when his father approved of the preparations and the building of the home of the wedding chamber. This is what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 2 to 4. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to do what? To prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. Just as the groom and people did not know when the father would approve his son to go and get his bride, likewise the son does not know when the father will send Jesus to get his bride, the church. Mark 13, 32 to 33. Now concerning that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father. Watch, be alert, for you don't know when the time is coming. We are the bride of Christ. We are waiting for the wedding feast, for the wedding to happen. The bride, while waiting for her groom to come, was considered consecrated or set apart, bought with a price. If she went out, she would wear a veil so others would know that she's betrothed. This was the time she prepared for marriage and saved money during this time. She would prepare herself to be the most beautiful she could be and keep ready. Typical bridegrooms would come for their brides in the middle of the night to steal them away. Awfully different than what we have today. The bride would have to always have her lamp and belongings ready. Her bridesmaids would do likewise. At the sound of the shofar, a ram's horn trumpet, the bridegroom would announce his coming. And all the people would gather together and they would march down to the bride's home. Torches and everything. And then they would go and get the bride and they would walk back to their dwelling. Jesus instructed us to stay ready in the same way because we are the bride for his coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Amen? Expect the unexpected. A disciple of Christ, of Jesus, lives life expecting the unexpected. But let's be truthful. We know that Jesus is returning. He's already come once and given his life on the cross, and he will return a second time to have the marriage supper with his believers, with his followers. We just don't know that time, that day or that hour. We do know, according to prophecy, in the feasts of the Lord, that it will be in the fall feast time that he does come. Jesus is the unexpected Savior. There was nothing usual or common about the birth and early childhood of Jesus. Practically every event was unusual or uncommon, totally unexpected. Jesus is God's very own Son. He was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, carried and delivered of a woman, Mary. Highly unusual. His arrival was announced by angels. He was born in a stable, given honor, glory, and riches, worshiped before even 3 months old. His birth was foretold and prophesied before he came to earth and was born. An unusual bright star appeared announcing his arrival and led three magi, three wise men from another country to come and worship him. Tell me, ladies, when your baby was born, did that all happen? No. Maybe it did. Well, hey, awesome. But usually your family, your friends, your husband, your other children, they're there. But this is unusual. Wasn't expected. But there was faith. What about those wise men? What about those magi that came? You know, like the star appeared and they came there right when Jesus was born? Is that how it happened? No. They were following the star for, they figure, up to 2 years. And then they found where Jesus was. Unfortunately, in our rendition of the night that Jesus was born, the wise men are there. They shouldn't be. It should be the shepherds. Not the wise men, because they were traveling still. There's a reason why King Herod did what? He ordered that children of 2 years of age and younger all be what? Killed. That they be killed. Because there's the time period of when this happened. Those wise men came from the east, most likely Persia, modern-day Iran. They were men of learning and authority. They're skilled in philosophy and science and medicine and astrology. It's also thought they were of the priestly order of Persia, ministers and advisors to the Persian rulers. It's even been floated that they may have been displaced Israelites living in a foreign land awaiting the sign of the Messiah. As these three wise men sought Jesus, the unexpected continued to happen time and time again to them. The unexpected Savior, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He was born in the smallest clan in Bethlehem, a no-name city, a no-name town, a no-name village. Be careful what I say here. I was going to say Millet or Cardiff or High Level. That's where he was born. The unexpected question, where is the newborn king? The unexpected disturbance. King Herod is, there's a king been born? The unexpected commission, go find the newborn king so that I might be able to go and worship him as well. The unexpected sign, the star guided them and continued to guide them. The unexpected king, a humble child, born in humble surroundings. He was born in Bethlehem, 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was famous for two things. Can you tell me? It's the home and city of who? King David. And it was prophesied to be the home of the Messiah's birth. Micah 5:2, Bethlehem Ephrath, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. Jesus was born in Bethlehem while Herod the Great was king. Herod was a bloody tyrant. It's recorded in history that he murdered members of his own family, including his favorite wife, his grandfather, her brother, and some of his own children. He even had the whole Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish government, assassinated. He also had every nobleman in Jerusalem murdered. And like we said, he ordered all Hebrew children 2 years of younger killed, not only in Bethlehem, but its vicinity. Herod had people killed because they were a threat to his throne. He attempted to kill Jesus because he was a threat to his throne. So then the Magi show up and go, hey, where's the newborn king? They don't show up in Bethlehem. They show up where? In Jerusalem, where the king of the Jews is. But the king of the Jews is not a Jew. But he's king of the Jews. How did the Magi know the king of Jews had been born? They saw his star in the east. What is meant by that is not clearly known, but assumed a bright light or a star or planets come together. It was some unusual astronomical light that one would not be able to miss looking at it because the people spent their time looking at the stars. They knew the stars. You and I would call it a miracle. A miracle in that it appeared at the very time the wise men were given knowledge of the newborn king. That's a strange star. We've never seen that before. It was a miracle that it appeared again for the specific purpose of what? Guiding the wise men to Bethlehem and Jesus. This star would have been in the sky for up to 2 years. People had time to look and to wonder, what is that? The light was a miracle that it appeared at the very time of Jesus' birth, and that it appeared to Gentile wise men who were studying the stars and watching for signs or anything usual or unusual. A star signifying Jesus' Messiah was born. The unexpected in this whole thing also was that the Gentile or Jewish wise men, we're not sure, came specifically to worship what or whom they found. The child of a reigning king, a Jewish king. They came to worship because they believed the prophecy. This is where they believed that these maybe weren't Gentile wise men, but they were Jewish wise men. But yet, we don't know for sure. But no wonder they headed to Jerusalem, wound up in Herod's court. He was the reigning king of Jerusalem. The capital city was his throne. Herod was a king of the Jews, but he was not a Jewish king. Why are people not asking today, where is he, the king of the Jews? Why aren't we asking that? Because we're wrapped up in our own distractions? The evil one has his distractions on us. The self and the world affairs of ambition and material possessions. One does not expect the non-Christian world to ask that question. Would Jesus' own disciples totally not expected that Jesus' own so-called disciples would not know, would not live in expectation of his coming? It is not expected that the religious would not know and ask the question. Do we expect the Bible to be truthful in what it says? Do we not expect it to fulfill prophecy or foretell the future? There's 402 prophecies that have been fulfilled in the Bible. In present day, there's more being fulfilled. 293 prophecies to be fulfilled or being fulfilled. 8,300 verses of predictive prophecy in the Bible. 25% of the Bible was written as prophecy, being an amount equal to the size of the entire New Testament. The Bible says of prophecy, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20, 21. How does one know that what the Bible says is true or truth? Well, fulfilled prophecy. Jesus said to his disciples, I've told you ahead of time so that when it happens, you will what? Believe. You will believe. You will have faith. So where is the newborn king? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. John 18:37, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The prophet Daniel, 7:14, he was given authority and glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So where is the king? John says he was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. He was put on a cross. He was crucified because the people did not recognize him as Messiah. The wise men illustrate the world's blindness to eternal affairs. A wise person is a person who seeks after Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, and his kingdom to come. The unexpected disturbance. The Magi informing the religionist of a newborn king. Ever been informed of something that you should have been aware of or know? I was moving our daughter Taylor this weekend, and we moved her on Thursday and Friday, got that all done, everything was taken care of, come back here yesterday and dropping off the trailer, and Dick comes over, and how did everything go? Everything went well, yeah, great, that kind of thing, and disconnecting the trailer, and Dick's looking there, and he's going, what's this? And there's a little piece of paper attached to the crank of the trailer. And I'm like, I thought it was there the whole time. But like Dick's like, no. And so we looked at it. City of Calgary. Parking ticket. Expect the unexpected. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, what? Well, unbeknownst to me, you're not allowed to disconnect your trailer on public roads in Calgary. And I had disconnected the trailer because I was going for breakfast Thursday morning with my friend Roger in Airdrie. And I didn't want to pull the trailer from Calgary to Airdrie into a parking lot and then pull it all the way back. So I thought I was being wise. So I disconnected it. You know what time they gave me the ticket? 8:14 in the morning. I had just gone out, disconnected the trailer, and went back in, and was coming out 10 minutes later. So I'm like, were they like sitting down at the end of the road watching and waiting for me to disconnect the trailer? Expect the unexpected. Something that I should have known, been informed about. I never thought about checking, can I disconnect the trailer? So Dick has a bill. No, I paid the bill. The Magi were the ones to inform the Jews that their promised Messiah was born. No one knew about the newborn Christ, except for the shepherds, which were told by who? The angels. Three groups were disturbed by not expecting the unexpected Christ. Some people expected Jesus coming, but he did not come as they expected. They expected a conquering king to vanquish their foes and reestablish the kingdom of Israel. But no, Jesus comes as a child, as a baby, and lives as a carpenter, a teacher, and becomes Savior of the world. Some did not believe, others could care less, and others did not want to know about a king who might disturb their lives. Has the Savior of the world come as we expected? As you and I have expected? Do we care if the Savior has come and is coming back to destroy the wrong and establish the right? Do we care to know that we need a Savior? Do we want to know the Savior who will cause you and I to reorder our life and our priorities to reveal what is really of value in this world and the world to come? The other group, the government. The government was disturbed by the unexpected birth of Jesus because it did not want a king coming from God who would threaten the present line and form of authority. The government was Herod, Who's our government today? Why do the nations rage in vain against God, the church, and the Bible? Because they are a threat to their throne and to their rule, preventing them from their evil desires to lead them to cheat, to murder, to maybe lie, to steal, to war. Why are the Ten Commandments been removed from the steps of the courthouse in the United States and placed in the storage room? Because they offend? But because they're a reminder of God's truth and rule and threat to the present line and form of authority. Why has prayer to God been removed from our schools, from courtrooms, from hospitals, from public institutions in our nation in Canada? Because prayer is a reminder who really is in control and who has the power in this world and the world to come. Prayer brings down strongholds and reminds those who think they have power and are in control as to who really has the power and is in control. Every time we bow and pray to Jesus, to God, to the Holy Spirit, to three in one, to one in three, we declare what? Sovereignty, authority, and power. We know who really is in control. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, "For though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ." Are we taking every thought captive, every ideology captive to obey Christ? Why is it a crime to own or have in your possession a Bible in so many countries today? Or be put in jail, or be put to death? Because it brings you before God. It slays a person's heart and exposes you naked before the eyes of him to whom we will all give an account for what we are, for who, what we've done, for who we are becoming. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." Why does Paul say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel"? Because the gospel is God's word and it's powerful. Brings us before God. The Bible saves because it is the words of God to humanity revealing our condition. It causes conviction because its words are true. It is solid food that helps one train by it to distinguish between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. That's real power. Isn't it interesting that the Bibles that were in hotel rooms and motel rooms, for the most part, have been removed? Have you noticed that? Why? The third group that were disturbed by the Magi reporting of a new king, asking, "Where is the new king?" were the religionists. Because Jesus and his coming did not match their beliefs. If they had, they would have welcomed Jesus openly, but they didn't do that. They resisted Jesus because he didn't match up to what they believed and what they taught and what they understood. How he should operate, how he should do things, how he should approach us, how he should approach authority. He didn't pay attention to their man-made laws, their religious laws, their fence laws. Jesus is more interested in love and mercy. Others did not recognize Jesus as king because they didn't want one. They didn't want another one. They were comfortable in their material world, in their humanistic religion. Others were just too busy in their religious affairs and duties to be spiritually sensitive to Jesus' coming. They were distracted. What's the difference between religion and Christianity? Religion is man-made. Christianity is following Christ. There's a version of Christianity out in our world today where they see that and they judge it as being a religion, as man-made. But a Christ follower knows different. We know that it's following Christ. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about following Christ and loving Christ. Jesus said these things of those who were unexpectedly disturbed. Matthew 13, 14, 15. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, "You will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their eyes are hard of hearing. They have shut their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would cure them." Did we ever expect to find a love like this? Did we ever expect to find a love in a babe in a cradle? From a God who cares so much about his creation that he would incarnate himself and come and live amongst and be born of his own creation to love you and I so much that he would die on a cross. We're to expect the unexpected in this world with God, because he did the unexpected with the birth and death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. The unexpected commission for us is search for the newborn king. The Magi never expected that they would have to search for Jesus, maybe. Do people have to search for Jesus when they meet you and me? Hopefully they see Jesus in us, through us, hear of Jesus. The unexpected signs the star guided them again. They apparently did not expect a supernatural sign to guide them again, but it appeared. They had searched faithfully and done all they could, and they were continuing on. God honors such efforts. And of all the verses that I've included, here's Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Hebrews 11:6. God will guide, but one needs to seek him. Draw near to him and believe that he exists with all one's heart, soul, and then one will find God. He will reveal himself to the sincere seeker. The unexpected king is baby Jesus. Shepherds found a humble child in a manger. The Magi found a humble child. Time later, 2 years later, and they brought their gifts to honor him and to praise him and to glory in him, because born was the Lord, the Messiah. What do you and I expect to find in the manger at Christmas? The Jesus of our expectation, or the Jesus of the unexpected? The community of the saved live this life expecting the unexpected from God, because he sent an expected Savior unexpectedly. Did you catch that? Does God always do the things that we expect? Does God do the things we expect as we expect? This is why we are called to live by faith, expecting the expected to come unexpectedly. This is the mystery of the manger, the incarnation, the ways of God. Expecting the unexpected, or the expected unexpected. Father, we thank you for your unexpectedness. We thank you that you're going to show yourself at some point in time here. But we expect that. We look forward to your second coming. We look forward to sitting at the banqueting table with you. We look forward to celebrating the eternal life that you give us. We look forward to celebrating in your kingdom. We look forward to seeing those that have gone on before us. We have hope. We have faith. Because you were born and you died on the cross. You did the unexpected. So we should live expecting the unexpected from you. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.